The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. We'll read the first 12 verses. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we're come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you the least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and found out from them when the time of the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search carefully for the child. When you have found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him.' When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chest and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Of all the characters of the Nativity story, the Magi capture our imagination. There is a certain mystique about them. They found their way into Christian art long before the lowly shepherds, even though the narrative of the account clearly suggests that their actual arrival on the scene was a couple of years after the babe had been laid in the manger. Was it their perceived social standing that catapulted them into Christian art, Christmas cards, ahead of those third shift field hands? Was it the lure of their crowns and jeweled garments, their spectacular camels rather than the commonplace sheep and cattle? Was it a nod to the inclusion of the Gentiles in the account of the birth of the King of the Jews? Or is there something about the Magi which we can identify with more deeply? Oh, we might never be wealthy or mysterious or even wise. Only a few of us have ever had a mount as noble as a camel. But something deep in our soul resonates with the Magi and their star. Maybe it's because we all feel like there is something out there we're looking for that seems to elude us. Maybe we've all chased our own bright stars. Maybe we're still looking for the right place, the right someone. Maybe we feel like everybody but us has this thing figured out. Maybe the call of the Magi identifies and calls out to us as seekers, a seeker within each one of us, to set out or to never give up on the quest that calls to our soul. The Magi offered gift to the Christ child, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know the story. But what gifts do the Magi offer us? What have they brought to us that would offer us wisdom and inspiration in our quest to follow our own star to wherever it is that the Christ waits to be discovered by us? If we were to travel with the Magi, they would tell us that we must look to the stars. The Magi are believed to be astrologers, students of the stars. They were among those who have looked to the night sky in wonderment, allowing the stars to not only guide their course, but to awaken their imagination and the yearning within their souls, always open to explore new directions, to ask questions, to sometimes go out on a limb when need be. The Magi would tell us that the first thing a seeker needs is a certain starry-eyed wonder. It's not easy as getting directions from an angel. Sometimes we have to look to the stars to awaken the GPS of our souls. Does that sound exciting? No wonder the Magi capture our attention. Starry-eyed wonder lies buried in the star stuff that is within all of us, just waiting to be reignited by the heroes like the Magi. But the Magi would have little patience with those of us who think we are up for a road trip, but soon enough begin with our incessant questions of how much farther. When you hop on the back seat of a camel with the Magi, you can't leave home without a strong spirit of determination to stay on the road no matter what. This is no walk in the park. This is a journey, a long one. Sometimes you journey without the benefit of any clearly marked paths. Sometimes through places of bewildering sense of loss, of uncertainty as to where you are going, wondering if you will ever get there, or if you will even know it when you do. That sought-after yet undefined right place. If we're going to travel with the Magi, we will have to learn to travel our path and to do it in our time. It's sometimes discouraging to see others who are on the fast lane whiz by us as if they know where they're going, or those who seem to have arrived at their destination. Why do we have such a slow, arduous track? Why does the road go on and sometimes in unexpected directions, one blind curve after another? Is this even the right road? Do we understand what the star is trying to tell us about which path to follow? Seasoned travelers, the Magi call us to remain steadfast in pursuit of our star as it leads us on our path. They remind us that if we will continue to go where our star leads us, we will undoubtedly arrive where we need to be. We will find the right place, and we will find it at just the right time. To do so necessitates taking a clear look at the journey as well as the destination. Otherwise, we are likely to turn back at the first sign of hardship. Jan Richardson has written a blessing for Epiphany that I revisit with each rising of Epiphany's star. In her blessing, she gives us six vows of the pilgrim necessary for all who would travel with the Magi. To begin with, a pilgrim vows to be faithful to the next step. It might well be all that we see of the journey. It might well be a step into the unknown or in a direction that we think might be off course. But if we are to follow the guiding light of Epiphany, we must be faithful to the next step, wherever it might go and however demanding it might be. Being faithful to the next step requires that we not grow satisfied with the previous progress or our current location. Always, always, always faithful to the next step. That's the vow of a pilgrim. The vows of a pilgrim continue with a vow to rely on more than a map. Maps are made by those who have gone before you. As a pilgrim, our call may well take us to places no one has been before, places where our feet might be the first to go, destinations uncharted. Walking God's path for you is likely to be way off of any map you might find. As a pilgrim, you must vow this year to heed the signposts of intuition and dream. This is a spiritual journey, and as such, our GPS will be our very soul. Let Epiphany's star shine deeply within you, awakening you to the imagination and the guidance that comes only from the depths of who you are, and guide you to a place that only you are called. Like the Magi, to be a pilgrim who vows to follow the star that only you will recognize. The same star must have been visible to others. It was seemingly only the Magi who looked up and recognized this star was new. This star was shining down on a new and changing world. This star was calling them to find their way and take their place in that new light that was dawning around them. This star was their star. They were compelled to follow it. Sometimes insiders to the faith are blind to what's right in front of them. The scribes and the chief priests know the scriptures and know that the promise of the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. But they don't bother to go and see. These strangers following a strange star are the ones who discover Jesus. Having seen your star, being guided by its light as a pilgrim, you must vow to keep an eye open for wonders along the journey. A pilgrim cannot stare always at the sky. A pilgrim must watch the path on which one's feet are set. Not only will this make for sound footing, but there will be discoveries of sustaining strength and resources placed along the path you're called to travel. Wonders will be seen all around. A parenthetical vow might be added to Richardson's list at this point. A pilgrim is one who would vow to pay homage when encountering such wonders. In her recent Epiphany reflection, Liddy Barlow writes, Rumi, perhaps a compatriot of the Magi, says, there are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. And so, in our own ways, with bent knees or with humbled spirits, we can bow before bread, before babies, before people who are poor. We can pay homage to the vulnerable and the marginalized. We can kneel before an ocean wave, a tree in full color, or a honeybee. We can prostrate before signs of God's love and evidence of God's work. One by one, overcoming our awkwardness and self-consciousness in exceeding joy, we can honor what is good and holy. In our own ways, we curtsy still. The pilgrim's vow is to press on, always on. As Richardson says, beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way, giving us clear warning that this is no easy road. It is a pilgrimage, a journey toward and into the sacred, a place that takes you into the very presence of God's promise and light, a destination toward which we must press always onward. These are the vows of a pilgrim. The call of the sermon today is, in Jan Richardson's words, keep them, break them, make them again, for Epiphany's star rises yet again. And like the Magi, it leads us ever onward toward the fullness of God's presence. Amen.